At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
You are now listening to the Calcio Corner Podcast with your host, Raffaele.
What's good? This is indeed the Calcio Corner Podcast, where we cover all corners of Italian football and more. My name is Raffaele. I thank you for taking the time to listen to this, the 36th episode of the Calcio Corner Podcast. Please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. You can follow my personal Twitter account. It is at Italiano Calcio. You can also follow the Twitter account for this podcast. It is at The Calcio Corner. So we're going to start off this 36th episode of the podcast by talking about some of the Coppa Italia action that we saw this past week and some of the fallout from it. So much happening right now in the world of Calcio, so certainly touch upon a bunch of those topics throughout this episode. But we finally concluded the quarterfinals of the Coppa Italia, and now we have our semifinal matchups all set, and they are two beautiful matchups. We have Atalanta versus Napoli and Inter versus Juventus. And for those that may be unfamiliar, if you recall the semifinals, there's two legs. So that means two more Atalanta-Napoli games, two more Derby d'Italias. So it's going to be tremendous games. The dates are scheduled for February for the Coppa Italia semifinals. Obviously, anything is subject to change given what COVID could throw their way in the condensed schedule. But later in February, which is right around the corner as I'm recording this on Friday, January 29th, we'll have those great matchups. But the first quarterfinal matchup was Inter-Milan. We had a Milan derby. It was a feisty game on the field. The play itself was tremendous, but also the storyline of Lukaku versus Zlatan Ibrahimovic. They really got into it towards the end of the first half and had some fireworks in that sense. Inter emerged victorious 2-1. Certainly, obviously, goes without saying, a big win. Anytime you beat one of your big rivals, it's a big win for Inter, but also for them to advance to the semifinals of Coppa Italia, kind of get a little bit of revenge over Milan, who had beaten them in their first meeting in Serie A. Obviously, they still have another meeting to go in the league, but certainly this had a feel good for Inter. Milan went down to 10 men when Zlatan Ibrahimovic picked up his second yellow card for a challenge he made on Kolarov. And I had mentioned it on Twitter at the time when that happened. So I'll talk a little bit about this Zlatan-Lukaku fight, but each of those players picked up a yellow card for constantly going back and forth at each other, getting in each other's faces, and not showing any signs of stopping. So the ref appropriately gave each of them a yellow card. And, you know, I've always felt that, I get it, you get caught up in the moment, you're in that heat of the moment, so you're not always thinking super rational, obviously. But those are foolish and silly yellow cards to get, because then obviously you jeopardize that risk of always getting that second yellow card. And that's what happened to Zlatan. He put his team down a man. Can we totally pinpoint that to be the reason why Milan lost this game? No, but it certainly was a significant reason and cause for why Milan lost. Odds are you're not going to beat Inter too many times. When you're down a man, you give them the man advantage. So Inter win 2-1. So in regards to that fight, I'm not going to get into the specifics about what language was used or said between the two players. It's certainly out there. You could read about that all over, you know, any sites that cover Italian football. So you could read about that. One of the narratives that certainly came out of it was, is Zlatan Ibrahimovic racist? Because he was, you know, some of the stuff he said was questionable and getting in Lukaku's face. Obviously, I'm assuming just like most of you listening, none of us really knows Zlatan personally. We only see what we see from him when he plays his games, what we see from him on social media, what we see from him on TV and news outlets and how he's portrayed and whatnot. From all those senses, do I think Zlatan is someone who is racist? No. Obviously, you would like to think in this world that there is no such thing as racism, but unfortunately, that is not the case. And again, I don't know Zlatan, but I would like to think he's not someone who has that type of mindset or that, you know, hate in his heart, if you will. We know Zlatan, his personality, he's very self-motivated, right? He likes to, you know, motivate himself, find any little thing that, like, could just kind of help to push him. For anyone familiar with Michael Jordan, or anyone who saw that documentary that ESPN released over the summer, The Last Dance, you would see these stories and hear these stories that, like, the smallest little slightest thing that to most people we would just brush off our shoulder and we wouldn't even bat an eye at, Michael Jordan just used that. He internalized that to, like, motivate him and get him to just absolutely want to obliterate his opponent. And I think Zlatan certainly has some of that in him, and that's what makes him such a fiery competitor and someone who, nearing 40 years old, is still playing at such a high level. It's because he finds those little slights, and that's how he pushes himself and motivates himself. And I think that was more of this instance, I think, than any certainly racist incident, at least in my opinion. Did he cross the line a bit? Sure, probably. He definitely crossed the line. But again, this is nothing new from Zlatan. This is who he is. I think, you know, he's perhaps taking on this personality and this shtick a little bit, this act a little bit more in his later years in his career. But this is who Zlatan is. It's not going to change. So I think that's more of that. Pogba, he came out on Twitter the very next day and said, you know, there's no way Zlatan Ibrahimovic is a racist. It's not who he is. And, you know, Pogba is good friends with Zlatan and Lukaku. So it's not like he was picking sides in this fight or whatever. But I would like to think that Zlatan is not a racist, as I said. But in terms of that incident, it's silly, it's foolish, because again, he put himself in a predicament where he jeopardized picking up a second yellow card for a silly first yellow, and that's what ended up happening, put his team down a man. So Inter advanced to the semifinals. The next day, we had Atalanta Lazio and Juve Spal. Not much to comment on that Juve Spal game. No surprise that Juventus dominated, Serie B side in Spal 4-0. I thought Chiesa played well in that game, so kudos to them. Atalanta-Lazio was a highly entertaining game, as you would expect. This was a game that you figured would provide goals. It gave us 5 goals in total. But credit to Atalanta, they emerged victorious 3-2, despite them going down a man as well. They were able to overcome that man disadvantage, and they had to play quite a while without him. He went down 10 minutes into the second half, so Atalanta played pretty much that entire second half of the game down a man. They were able to hold off Lazio. They even had a missed penalty, Atalanta, which could have, you know, really put this game to bed and made it 4-2, but they held on. They beat a good Lazio team. Atalanta certainly flying high at the moment, without Papu Gomez, as we know, who officially made his transfer to Sevilla, so that was sad to see him leave. But credit to Atalanta. And then just yesterday, again, as I'm recording this on a Friday, Napoli beat Spezia 4-2. And if you believe the media reports, and we'll talk about Gattuso and his job in a little bit, but if you believe the media reports, this was one of those must-win games for Gattuso. Between this and the next couple Serie A games that are all against winnable opponents, it was, you know, being reported that if they don't win these games, it could be the end of Gattuso's time at Napoli. But De Laurentiis released a statement saying he met with the club and the team and the players and the coaches and reassured that Gattuso is their coach. They have full confidence in him. But Napoli, first half of that game, came out and were as motivated, as clinical, as outstanding as a side as you could see. And the side that, you know, we know they're capable of performing that way. They absolutely buried Spezia in that first half, scoring all 4 goals in the first half. So they're cruising at halftime 4-0. But as we've seen plenty of times this season, Spezia are not a team that go down without a fight. They are a hard-fighting team. Vincenzo Italiano has done a great job with this, you know, Serie A new coming side. And they fought hard. They scored 2 goals in quick minutes, 70th and 73rd minute. And as I'm watching this game, despite the score being 4-2 with less than 20 minutes to go in the game, I'm legitimately watching this game thinking Spezia, down 2 goals, might still make this comeback. Part of that is a testament, as I said, to Spezia. We've seen this team fight all season. They've had some good results. They beat Napoli already in Serie A. They beat Roma in the Coppa Italia to get to this point. They nearly beat Roma this past weekend in Serie A. It's a team that does not go down without a fight. And yes, they got punched in the face in that first half, giving up 4 goals. But they did not feel bad for themselves. They did not put their, you know, their head between their legs and just give up. They came out and they fought hard in that second half. And even though there was less than 20 minutes in this game, 4-2 goal, 4-2 score, I still felt that Spezia had a way to perhaps equalize this game. And I was a little sitting on my edge there thinking, you know, Napoli might blow this game. And this could certainly spell the end for Gattuso. But Napoli end up winning 4-2 and set up that great matchup against Atalanta in the semifinals. So again, semifinal matchups, Atalanta-Napoli, Inter-Juve. We'll certainly cover those games as they play out, but that was just a little quick recap about the action in Coppa Italia this past week. All right, now on to Bide or Sell It to cover some of the storylines and rumors that have been dominating the Italian media and the world of football. Number one, Bide or Sell It, Inter would get the better end of the potential swap deal with Roma involving Dzeko and Alexis Sanchez. I will buy this one. Now, the latest rumors as I'm recording this is that this deal is in danger of not happening since the two sides can't reach an agreement on the difference in salaries. Dzeko and Alexis Sanchez, they make about the same money when we're talking about net value. Dzeko earns 7.5 million euro and Sanchez earns 7 million euro. However, Dzeko actually costs more. He costs 13 million per season for Roma, and Alexis Sanchez costs 9 million euro to Inter. That all has to do with new rules in Italy, with bringing in foreign players and whatnot. So even though the net value is the same in terms of the salary, the gross salary that each of them earn is different. There's about a 4 million euro difference, so that has been a stumbling block in the negotiations, and that's what's right now potentially going to kill this deal. So, you know, getting Dzeko would obviously increase the wage expenses for Inter, and that's something that they're not looking to necessarily do. So that's, again, that's what's holding this up right now. But let's examine it, because you never know, anything can change from now till the end of this month when the mercato closes. And I definitely do think that in this rumored swap deal, Inter would be getting the better end of it. Edin Dzeko, he can still be a 15-plus goal scorer in this league, even at the age of 34. I don't think that's an issue at all. I don't think that's a concern of Inter's. Antonio Conte has wanted Dzeko from the moment he arrived at Inter last season. It hasn't happened yet, obviously, and it seems like Dzeko has been rumored to leave Roma for quite a while now. It seems like, you know, summer mercato, January mercato, he's always being rumored to leave. And every time we kind of think he's about to, like just now, it seems it doesn't happen. Inter desperately, they need another striker to spell Romelu Lukaku to help get him some rest. Lukaku, he's not one of these lazier, low work rate strikers that, you know, just kind of lurks around the box and is looking for his teammates to do all the work and just set him up. Lukaku, he works hard all the time. You see him, you know, track back and make defensive contributions. He plays with his back to goal. He works hard holding up the play to allow his teammates to get involved and, you know, just making a little layoff to them. And, you know, I think we're definitely starting to see him tire a bit. And when you consider the shorter offseason we're coming off of, and, you know, the deep run they made in the Europa League to the finals against Sevilla, you know, it's no surprise that Lukaku perhaps is starting to show a little tire and wear as we are coming to February. In Serie A, he has scored just one goal in his last 5 games. In all competitions, Lukaku has just 3 goals in his last 8 games. So certainly a decline in production from what we saw earlier in the season and from what we saw last season. And I think that's why Dzeko, he certainly needed to be brought in by Inter and to help spare Lukaku a bit. And we know Dzeko is more than, you know, good enough to start for Inter and allow Conte to rest Lukaku and, you know, put his mind at ease. He doesn't feel like there's a significant drop-off if he keeps Lukaku on the bench for a game and starts Dzeko. So that certainly is a reason why I believe Inter need to make this move. Even Lautaro Martinez has gone cold. He's not scored any goal in 6 games in all competitions. So yes, Dzeko is desperately needed at Inter to help kind of revive and relieve this attack. I do think this is the type of move that could help Inter catch Milan, which is obviously what their goal is. They want to win the Scudetto. I'm by no means saying, you know, Milan fans should overreact and or anything, but they have lost 2 games in a row, but, you know, 1 in Serie A, 1 in Coppa Italia. That Coppa Italia game was against Inter. They've lost 3 out of their last 6 games in all competition, that being Milan. So maybe, you know, just maybe Milan are starting to open up that door a bit for someone else to swoop in and take over first place. Inter are just 2 points behind them. And if they can add Dzeko, you know, who knows? I would definitely watch out for them. It's also the move that, you know, Conte could start Lukaku and Dzeko together in attack and rest Lautaro Martinez. Either way, I think, you know, Inter got to make this type of move. I know money is tight right now and that increase in salary and wage expenses is what's holding up this deal. But Dzeko would be the perfect player for Inter to bring in, a reliable veteran player, experienced player who knows the league. Conte wants him. He could play with Lukaku in attack. He could play with Lautaro Martinez in attack. It allows Conte to rest those other 2 players, which, as I, you know, pointed out in those stats, their goal scoring production has dramatically decreased over the past few games, and certainly fatigue has to be contributing towards that. So I definitely think Dzeko is needed. From a Roma standpoint, I'm not saying I absolutely hate this move, but I don't love it. I know there was a falling out between Dzeko and Fonseca, and, you know, Dzeko earns a lot of money at his age, but they are bringing in Alexis Sanchez, or they would be bringing in Alexis Sanchez, I should say, who, you know, again, in terms of net, is earning pretty much the same amount of money, so they would save a minimal amount in terms of the wages. Alexis Sanchez, if he can't stay healthy, he has shown he could still be a good player in this league. You know, he's had some moments at Inter this season. It's not like Roma are getting a total garbage player in this deal, obviously. They are bringing in El Shaarawy. If you throw in Alexis Sanchez, you have Mkhitaryan, you have Pedro, and Borja Mariel, it could be a dynamic attack. Perhaps it could. I don't know. It would be interesting to see what Fonseca does and how he manipulates those players up front. Selling Dzeko, obviously, it really would throw Borja Mariel into the fire and thrust him into that starting striker role. And that would be the reason why I don't necessarily love this move for Roma. Again, I don't hate it, but I don't love it. Is Borja Mariel ready to carry and anchor this Roma attack? I'm not fully sure. I know he's, you know, shown some glimpses and promise at some points this season. I just, you know, for me, if I'm a Giallorossi fan, that makes me a little nervous going from Dzeko to Mariel. Gazzetta dello Sport, they have been reporting that Andrea Pinamonti could also join Roma as part of this deal from Inter to help offset the salary differences and, you know, provide Fonseca with another striker. Perhaps, you know, Roma aren't interested in bringing in Pinamonti, so that could be, you know, part of what's holding up this deal as well. All I know is if this deal doesn't happen, which the latest reports are indicating it's not going to happen, Roma have to figure out this fight between Dzeko and Fonseca, because you aren't going to keep Dzeko, one of your best players, on your roster until the end of this season and not be using him, especially when you're battling to stay in the top four and, who knows, perhaps shock the world and, you know, compete for the Scudetto, because they're not, there's not a huge gap between them and Milan. You know, Dzeko wanted to return to training with the group this week, and Fonseca shot that down, and certainly, you know, someone has to step in and mediate this situation, because again, if Dzeko's going to end up staying at Roma for the rest of the season and Fonseca's going to keep his job, you can't have beef between these two, you know, the player and coach, because Dzeko's too important to just have him sit on the bench, because at that point, you know, the Freikens certainly have to push this move along and get Dzeko out of Rome, because there's no point in bringing at least someone like Alexis Sanchez, who Fonseca will utilize in attack. So again, latest reports, it's not going to happen, but if it does happen, I really do love this move from an Inter perspective. I think Dzeko, without any doubt, would be a great fit for the Nerazzurri and be the perfect player to help spell Lukaku and Lautaro Martinez some minutes. All right, number two, buy or sell it. Napoli should fire Gennaro Gattuso and make a coaching change immediately. I will sell this one. I definitely don't think Napoli should be firing Gattuso. I feel he deserves to finish out the season. And you know, then if you're De Laurentiis, you could reevaluate things at that point. Have Napoli been somewhat disappointing this season? Yes, disappointing in the sense that they have been far too inconsistent. As I've mentioned plenty of times, when Napoli play good and are clicking, they look outstanding. They look like a side that can score 4+ goals in every game and are absolutely unbeatable. But when Napoli play poorly, it is really, really bad, and you almost can't believe that this is the same team that at times can look so darn good. So from that inconsistent play from week to week, yes, I have to say that Napoli have been disappointing in terms of the inconsistency, in my opinion. And that inconsistency, it falls on the players for sure, but certainly Gattuso, as the coach of Napoli, he has to assume his level of blame for this. And, you know, perhaps for not getting the team to be as focused game in and game out, perhaps in training, I don't know, because we see how fiery and how passionate a person and coach Gattuso is. So it's hard to imagine that he doesn't, you know, get his players motivated each game. So, you know, it's an interesting situation. But again, Napoli, I believe, are around like 10 points more at this point in the season compared to where they were last season. So, you know, Gattuso is making improvements with this team. So let's not act like the sky's totally falling in Naples. Not to make an excuse, and I know this is going to sound like an excuse, what I'm about to say, Napoli have lost some key players for extended period of time this season. Koulibaly has missed time, Osimhen's missed time, Mertens, Diego Deme, Manolas. So, you know, that certainly could be something that is contributing to this inconsistent play throughout the season. But again, as I've mentioned, other big clubs, Milan, Juve, they've dealt with these players in and out of their lineup as well, and they've been able to manage a more stable and consistent style of play. Also, Gattuso has been the coach now at Napoli for just over a year. He was hired in the middle of December of 2019 when he replaced Carlo Ancelotti. And not that, you know, just because you're on the job for a year entitles you to keep it, you know, if you aren't getting the results required on the field. But I do think it is safe to say that, you know, a year that he's been in charge, Gattuso has done a pretty good job with this club. He won Coppa Italia with them last season, beating Napoli, beating Juve. So give credit to him for that. And look, Napoli are fighting for the top four this season. And I truly, truly, truly believe they need to qualify for the Champions League. They can't miss out on that for a second straight season. I think, you know, Gattuso, by keeping Gattuso and allowing him to continue working with this group, it gives Napoli the best shot to finish in the top four, rather than making a change right now or very soon. Would winning the Scudetto be great? Of course, obviously, that, you know, that's the big goal. But as I mentioned on the last episode of the podcast, Napoli are way too inconsistent to be considered Scudetto contenders, in my opinion. The goal is to finish in the top four. And as I'm recording this, Napoli currently have 34 points. They have to make, you know, that game up against Juventus, as we know. They're just 2 points out of the top four, so it's certainly in reach. Now, if Napoli don't finish in the top four by the end of the season, could I see De Laurentiis letting Gattuso go? Yes, I could. I think it's, you know, it's Champions League qualification or bust for Gattuso at this point. And when you look at some of their upcoming games, they play Parma this weekend. They play Genoa next weekend. Certainly two winnable games. Undoubtedly, Napoli got to get 6 points out of those two games against Parma and Genoa. Anything less would be a disappointment, especially when you look at the games that come up after Parma-Genoa. They got to play Juve. They got to play at Atalanta. Benevento are a tricky side. Then they got to play Sassuolo, who already have beaten them this season. Then they play Bologna. Then they have Milan and Roma. I mean, that's a really tough stretch. Again, Juve, Atalanta, Milan, Sassuolo, those are some really tough games ahead. So without a doubt, they need to take 6 points against Parma and Genoa over the next two rounds. That would certainly go a long way in securing Gattuso's future. Some names being thrown out there, to replace Gattuso should a change be made, would be the return of Walter Mazzarri or Rafa Benitez. Neither name excites the Napoli fan base, certainly. But there are some really good coaches that are available if Napoli were to look to make a switch over the summer. You got Max Allegri, you got Luciano Spalletti, Maurizio Sarri. Now, I think we could assume that De Laurentiis wouldn't be willing to welcome back Maurizio Sarri, but you never know. Obviously, the two had some great years together when they were at Naples. For me, if Napoli were to make a change at the end of the season, Allegri is the guy you want. I talked about why he would be a good fit for Roma on the last episode of the podcast, and you can listen to that one over again if you want. And everything I said about why he'd be a good fit for Roma, you could apply to why Allegri would be a good fit at Napoli. I think with Allegri, you wouldn't get these massive swings and dips in performance from this Napoli side. He would bring that consistency, that stability, a winning mentality, and just more organization and accountability to a Napoli side, which are some of the reasons why I said he would also be a good fit for Roma. So again, I think it's Champions League qualification or bust for Gattuso this season. I don't think Napoli should be making a switch now or at any point throughout this season, unless obviously the world caves in for Napoli. I think you give Gattuso the rest of the season. If they finish in the top four, you could evaluate things then. If they finish outside the top four, I do think Gattuso ends up getting the boot from De Laurentiis. So that will do it for the 36th episode of the Calcio Corner podcast. I hope you have enjoyed it. Once again, please subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. Feel free to leave a rating and comment. That would be greatly appreciated to help us grow. And until next time, guys, ciao.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Calcio Corner podcast with your host, Raffaele. If you've enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, Gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,